Coming today, Leo, thank you for the privilege to pray for you. Amen. 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 You know, it's kind of, I guess, strange in some ways how our paths cross, and there's a reason that God brought us here. There's a reason that he brought Leo here, and it was for this day and truly this point in time that we had the privilege to touch and to pray and just to anoint him. So pretty awesome to do that. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to wrap up today's service. And this has been more of a teaching time than it really has been a preaching time in our church, but I've called it some, none, or all. Now, in the book of Genesis, the Bible tells us the earth was formless. The earth was void. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And it says, and the Spirit of God. First time that we've mentioned, first time you will see in Scripture where it literally mentions the Spirit of God. So we know that the Holy Spirit is here. In John 1, it says, talks about the deity of Christ. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. That specifically mentions Jesus Christ. So we see in the midst of that that we have God the Father, you have God the Son, and you will see that you have God the Holy Spirit. That is the Trinity that you and I have truly the privilege to worship every Sunday and candidly every day. In Luke, John answered and he said, as for me, he says, I baptize you with water. But then he says, but one is coming. So in that scripture, John is saying he's not here yet. Well, he's here, but yet he's not here. He's not like he is for you and I today. He says, I baptize you with water, but one is coming who is mightier than I. And I'm not fit to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, and he will baptize you with fire. One of the things I said when we prayed for Leo, there's not a person in this room that has anything in our human body to offer to him. Condolences, you know, we love you, we care for you, you know, everything that we would have would be emotional. But what you and I do have, as Peter and John said, silver and gold we do not have. But what we do have is the Word of God. Amen. The Bible says the Word of God is the foundation. It's the rock that you and I stand on. It also tells us that the Word of God is something that God designed, and he designed it for a specific reason, and it says that every word that we speak shall not come back void. So God says, I designed it, it's going to do it, and we speak forth. Yeah. One of the things we've shared so much with Leo is that the Bible says there is life and there is death in the power of the tongue. Amen. Very important for him as he goes through this wilderness journey. And you know, Leo, in the book of Psalms, it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow, King James says death, but the word death literally means darkness in the Hebrew. So it says, as I walk through, we always look at the word death or darkness, but that's a victorious passage because we forget the key word through. How do I get through something? You go in on this side, but you come out on the other side. And we as a church are going to walk with you, and we're going to take you out on the other side through the Word of God. Now, God's Spirit is holy fire. Now, His Spirit enlightens everybody here. You know, without the Spirit of God, we would be walking in darkness. But it also purifies so that His Spirit brings into you and me this uninterrupted privilege of transforming by experiencing faith from Him. Amen. Connie, can I share? Mom's not here, right? Last Sunday, she had surgery on Tuesday, or was that a week before? Tuesday. But bottom line, she got a bad report. I mean, they're talking operations, they're talking, you know, all this kind of stuff. Well, we went in, we did the same thing that we just did with Leo, and, you know, we prayed for her. Connie calls me a little bit later, and she said, oh, God is so good. Well, Mom is supposed to be having, you know, something that was pretty significant in her life. Well, when they got in it, they found that it was just a little cyst. They removed the cyst. They didn't have to have surgery. They didn't do anything like that. And all of that is to the glory of God. Amen. But through that, amen, give God a hand clap of praise. But here's the key, church. Through that transformation, you and I get to experience the power of God. We have a God who will do more for you and me than we could ever ask or think. And as we walk through and we operate by faith, faith is the assurance of things that we hope for. It is the conviction of things we haven't seen. But as we walk through, we experience faith. And God says, let me show myself to you, and I will show you the power if you are a believing group of individuals. Now, we become offerings also. But you become an offering if you obey the faith from God's Spirit and from His power. I mean, it's mandatory that you and I have faith.
Yeah.
Let me read to you. Some of this people will go, oh, that's Thomas Tenney, and he's one of those weird guys. But let me read this. He says, just before evening, the thought took possession in my mind that as soon as I was left alone in this new office, he says, I would try to pray again, that I was not going to abandon the subject of religion and give up. And therefore, although I had no longer had any concern about my soul, he says, still I would continue to pray. By evening, we got all the books and the furniture adjusted. And he says, all of a sudden, he says, I closed my door. He said, I turned around. My heart seemed to be liquid. All my feelings seemed to rise and flow out. And the utterance of my heart was, I wanted to pour out my soul to God. The rising of my soul was so great that I rushed into the room. He said, prior to this, he said, I had opened up the fireplace. I put a good fire on, hoping to spend the evening alone. He says, there was no fire in the other room that he went to. He says, nevertheless, it appeared to me that it was perfectly lit. He says, as I went in and I shut the door after me, it seemed as if I met the Lord at that point in time. He says, afterwards, it was like a holy mental state. He says, it seemed to me that I saw Jesus, but I saw him as any other man. He said nothing, but he looked at me in such a manner as to break me right down at my feet. I always since regarded this as the most remarkable state of mind, for it seemed to be a reality. He said, I fell down at his feet. I poured out my soul. I wept aloud like a child. I made such confessions as I could with my choked utterances. It seemed to me that I bathed his feet with my tears, and yet I had no distinct impression that I touched him that I recollect. I must have continued in this state for a while, but my mind was too much absorbed with the interview to recollect anything that I said. But I know as soon as my mind became calm enough to break off from the interview, I returned to the front office and found that the fire that I had made of large wood was nearly burned out. But as I turned and I was about to take a seat by the fire, he said, I received such a mighty baptism of the Holy Spirit. Without any expectation of it, without ever having the thought in my mind that there was any such thing for me, without any recollection that I ever heard the thing mentioned by any person in the world, the Holy Spirit descended on me in a manner that seemed to go through me, my body, and my soul. I want to share with all of us today, the Greek word for baptism comes from the word baptizo, and it means to be immersed. It means literally to be dipped under, implies submersion, it implies immersion. In Luke 3:16, again, John answered and he said to them, "As for me, I baptize you with water." Now, John is in the physical. The only thing that John could do is the same thing that we will do in the days to come, is that we will literally take a person and we will put them into the water. We actually submerge them under the water. It's a physical deal. And then we bring them back up. But he says, one is coming who is mightier than I. He said, I'm not fit to even tie the shoestrings on his shoes. But he says, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now in John 1:33, he said, I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said this, he upon whom you see the Spirit descend and remain upon, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. Now, in Acts 1 and 4, Jesus gathers all his people together. And then he says, I'm commanding you not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father has promised. From the very first passage that we talked about, we know that the Holy Spirit is here. We know that the Trinity is already in place, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's here. But now Jesus is telling his disciples, wait a minute, I want you to wait. He said, I want you to wait for that which the Father promised, which he said you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now, the passages that we just read teach us, whether you want to believe it or not, that there is an experience called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, is the baptism the Holy Spirit the same as regeneration, which is the act of God whereby he renews the spiritual condition of the sinner? We're talking about salvation, okay? It's a spiritual change brought about by the work of the Holy Spirit so that the person then possesses a new life. We in this church believe that you are to pray to receive Christ. We believe that once you pray to receive Christ, the life is no longer about you. It's about what Christ has done for you on the works of the cross. One of the problems with Christianity today is that so many people, and we want to work our way into the presence of God, you can't work your way after you receive Christ, because Galatians says that he lives in us and we live in him. You can't work yourself any closer than that right there. Why? Because he lives in you and you live in him. So, you know, we've got to get past the deal to go, I wasn't very good. I've repented since yesterday, let me tell you, Leo, because it wasn't very good. But you know, the whole thing is that, you know, I can't get any closer to God than I already am. Sins have been forgiven, but God has given you and I the gift of confession and repentance. It means when we do something wrong, we confess it. And then we do the best we can not to do it again. And you can't just hang on, oh my gosh, I did. No, God says, man, it's already been done. So you and I have to ask for forgiveness, but then you and I have to count on the forgiveness that God has given us. So again, is the baptism of the Holy Spirit the same as regeneration? Is it the same as salvation? Okay? Here's what Romans 10:9-10 says. That if you confess with your mouth, so you got a choice, that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, it says you will be saved. It says, for with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Okay? So there's two things in that passage that you will see. Now, there's no mention currently of the Holy Spirit in that passage. What God is asking us to do, he says, first of all, I want you to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That means that he's number one. That means that you and I take the seat of number two. But he also says, believe that God raised him from the dead. Because if we don't believe that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, then that cross means nothing. And the words that Jesus said on the cross, Daddy, it's all done. I've completed all that you want me to. All of that is to naught. Okay? Because Jesus is still in a tomb. But we know. On the third day, he came out of that tomb to the surprise of Satan. And we know that he walked and talked and showed himself to everybody. Now, the condition of salvation, again, is based on confessing that Jesus is Lord, believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. But now here's where the Holy Spirit gets involved. The real question is, how was Christ raised? In Romans 8:11, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Now, it's one thing to be born of the Spirit, but it's yet something totally different to be baptized with the Spirit. If you have prayed to receive Christ, and I know that nobody's done this except me, okay? But years ago, in the past, when my life was so far apart from Christ, you could write it on a piece of paper and say, did you? And I would probably say, yes. But the same resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead is the same resurrection power that raised Keith from the dead. Now, I know where I was, but I know where I am today, and I had nothing to do because I was dead in sin over here. Jesus looks at us and goes, he's in a mess. And he reaches down right before our hands reach the fire, and he lifts us up, and he brings us over here. And that's called righteousness. Because of what he did, I have the right standing to be in the presence of Almighty God. Satan wants us to go back over here and think about the bad things that we've done. God said, forget those things. My blood covered that. But now you're over here, and also you've been justified. You have the right to stand in my presence. And when I look at you, I don't look at that. I look at you through Christ Jesus. Amen. And I see something that's whiter than snow. Not because of you, Keith, but because of what Christ Jesus did for Keith Anderson. Now, in John 20:22, and when he had said this, he breathed, the Bible said, on them. And they received the Holy Spirit. Well, I sat there last night and went, okay, wait a minute. And I really began to research, and I read commentaries. I read everything because, well, okay, wait a minute. They received the Holy Spirit. So not clear, but many believe that this reception, this meeting of the Holy Spirit was in anticipation of the day of Pentecost. They had limited understanding. They had limited knowledge. I think, honestly, they had limited empowerment. It does not say, and that would be a passage up for interpretation. Now, Acts 1, 4, and 5 says when they gathered together, he said, here's what I want you to do. Don't leave, but wait for what the Father has promised. So it's a little confusing. Over here, he breathed on them and they received, but yet in Acts, he says, hold on just a minute. Don't leave because I want you to get what the Father has promised. Where do we play a part of this? Well, honestly, in Matthew 28, he says, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, but he ain't here yet, okay? Well, no, he is here. He is here. We've already read in the book of Genesis. I mean, he was here from the very beginning of this process. So we know that the Holy Spirit is here, okay? We already had a passage before that when Jesus was baptized by John, when he came out of the water, the Holy Spirit ascended upon him. But it was to show us one thing. Jesus' ministry did not start till he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, there's got to be something in the midst of that for you and for me, okay? Acts 1:8 tells us, but you will receive power. Now, the word power in the Greek doesn't mean strength. It means miraculous power, that you and I will receive miraculous power when the Holy Spirit has come upon us. Now, I could go over there and touch Leo, you know, in the natural. I got nothing that I could even touch him with. I got nothing. I mean, I am nothing. But when the Holy Ghost comes upon us, and the Holy Ghost says, go lay hands on that man. I'm telling you that the Holy Ghost can do more for Leo than I could ever think about in my life. But you and I are the catalyst. We are the conduit in which that flows through to him. Because the Bible says these are the signs that accompany them that believe. Lay your hands. So God is telling us, hey, get up off your backside, church. There's people out here that need help. Amen. I want to help, but the Holy Spirit's got to be a part of this Amen. Picture. Okay? Amen. Now, let me go back. It also says for one reason, to be a witness. I mean, what do we do this for? Just so he's healed? Woohoo! You're hitting up. No, it literally means that you, in the days to come, can be a witness for other people that are going through what you are going through to go, let me tell you about my God. My God will do more for you than you could ever ask or ever think. And see, I believe that we go through this stuff so that we are a testimony. Because the world is searching, they're looking, and they're trying to find temporal things, and we need to go, you don't have anything that you can base on in the temporal, but let me give you something that's eternal. He's the same God yesterday, he's the same God today, and he's going to be the same God tomorrow. Amen. And he's not a respecter of people. If he touched them, then I can go to bed tonight with the same hope that he's going to touch me. And then now we're a witness for the world to see. Now again, hold on tight to this. The word baptism literally means to be immersed. It literally means to be dipped under. But there's an implication to the word of submersion or immersion. Okay? Now, we know that we have been commissioned. Right before Jesus went up to heaven, he got with all of his disciples. I know that some will go, that was meant for those disciples, and I would be 100% in agreement that he was specifically talking to them. But he says, I want you to go make disciples. Did that stop with the next group of disciples? No. That is something that is a continuum till Jesus comes back. They made disciples. Those disciples made disciples, they made disciples, they make disciples, they make disciples, and it's down to us, and we have the task today that we too are to make disciples, okay? We know that we have been called to do the same things that Jesus did. The Bible says, you know, not only are these things can you do, but even greater things than this can you do. Well, there's nothing greater than healing somebody. There's nothing greater at all than raising somebody from the dead like Jesus did. But the greater piece into this means that you guys can do more. You guys can go out to a world that's so much larger than the world that Jesus lived in because he had to walk. But here he says, go out into the world. Nothing happens by happenstance. We did not pick Leo Chavez so that he would build that building. We picked Leo Chavez and Pedro and Jimmy so that they would be in this building today, that we could be united as one group so that we could reach a brother who is going through challenges in this life. Now, the only way this is accomplished is when the Holy Spirit would come upon you, okay? Luke 11:13, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, which there's not a daddy in this room that doesn't know how to do that, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask?
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Now, we play a part in this, okay? Now, I believe that when you and I pray to receive Christ, we got God the Father, we got God the Son, we got God the Holy Ghost. I believe that we got it all.
Amen.
I am a believer, and I think Scripture backs it up, that the Holy Spirit has always been here, but the Holy Spirit had not been introduced to society until the day of Pentecost. I believe that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell, people began to see. The Bible says that they talked in other languages. People were able to hear their own specific language. And I think it was at that point in time, as he was being introduced into society, that's why you hear all that. But we also know that because of the works of the cross, we know now that he said this. We know that God is in heaven. We know that Christ sits on the right hand of God the Father. And these were Jesus' words: I leave with you the Holy Spirit. So now we know that we have the Holy Spirit with us. Now, I believe, church, that you can have some of this. You can have none of this. You can have all of it. Okay? And candidly, it's based upon this scripture: how much are you willing to ask God to give you of the Holy Spirit? Now, I got to tell you, you know, to go lay hands on somebody is scary. For us to sit over here and tell Leo today, Leo, the Bible says this, or Leo, here's what we want you to do. Quit speaking negativity. Y'all know Dwight Raven. Dwight's been attacked by Satan for a long time, and it will anger him if you go up and you say to him, I understand that you have liver cancer. He'll go, nah, back off. I ain't got it, because I'm not accepting it.
Right.
Now, Satan might be coming against me with it, but I ain't got it, and I ain't claiming it. And that man's been living now for 7 years. And I know Satan hits him hard on occasion, but I mean, you will not get any negative words out of his mouth. So, church, through the works of the cross, Jesus reconciled mankind who was dead in sin back to God. That's the works of the cross. Without Jesus, we couldn't get to God. But the same resurrection power, church, that raised Christ from the dead, that's the Holy Spirit, is the same resurrection power that raised you and me from the dead. We were dead in sin. Christ went to the cross. He completes what his daddy wanted to do. We were dead, but the resurrection power that raised Christ is the same resurrection power that raises us. Now, here's where I want you guys to hone in, and we're going to close with this slide. The real question for every Christian is this: Are you willing to either immerse yourself or allow the Holy Spirit to immerse you with the Word of God? See, today in the spirit form, I believe that this baptism of the Holy Spirit is when we are literally immersed with the Word of God. That doesn't mean that you go, okay, I heard a great message today at church, and you never open up your Bible. In Psalms, it says, those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High can abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And the word dwell means that you set up habitation. It doesn't mean that you don't know the 66 books of the Bible. It doesn't mean that you don't know what the Bible says. It means that you literally immerse yourself. You jump in from head to toe, and you are covered with the Word of God, because there are more people that you will come in contact, just like Leo, and the only thing that we can offer them is the spoken Word of God. But the question is, are you willing to immerse? Are you willing to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? Because when you do, not only do you get the Word, you get the fire, you get the empowerment. Jesus' ministry did not start till the Holy Spirit fell on him. Our ministry cannot start till the Holy Spirit falls on us. You have a choice. None, some, or all. It's up to you. Give God a hand clap of praise this morning.